Relationships. Definitely religion tonight. And as always, Chris Harrington's reality. This is the good news on Glenn Klein Online.
In store, love is the drug, and I need to score. Showing up, hit them run. Boy meets girl, where the beat goes on. Stitched up tight, can't shake weak. Love is the drug, got a hook on me. Oh, catch that buzz. Love is the drug I'm thinking of.
Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is Wednesday, March 13, 2013, the only 313, 2-0-13 in the history of the world. And now it's another historical making moment, ladies and gentlemen, as we welcome the intermediator. Chris Harrington. As we're experiencing, oh, there it goes, I think. Did you fix it?
Yep.
No, you can't fix anything, Chris. Oh, there, that's better.
How optimistic are you?
We had a lot of static there at the beginning. And here's what I'm saying, Sean, is that it was the dust, since we haven't been on for 2 weeks, it was the dust in the equipment. You don't want dust in the equipment, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is. Please welcome from the home offices in Nacogdoches, Texas, the one, the only, the legendary, the intermediator of the good news on Glenn Klein Online.
Good evening. How are we?
Wait, you got to let me finish the introduction, dude.
Why?
Why not?
Yeah, Why not send an answer?
We still got some situation happening here, Stronage.
A situation?
Yeah, the one night we didn't have a testing, and we got all kinds of weird... Oh, he did test it. Well, we got some situation happening. I had a kid that worked for me at the summer camp that Dawn and I used to own in northern Wisconsin, and he was a philosophy major. And eventually he gets his doctorate. And he's sitting down for the Blue Book final doctorate exam. And the professor stands up. They had 90 minutes to write in the Blue Book. You remember the Blue Books. They probably don't have Blue Books anymore, I bet. They probably just have, like, tablets and stuff.
They probably just have computers.
Yeah, a little computer situation happening. Anyway, here the professor writes the question on the blackboard. They probably don't even have blackboards anymore.
Oh, sure they do.
They do?
Oh, yeah. Whiteboards, smartboards.
Yeah, but those are not blackboards, dude.
Sure.
And really, we continue to call the blackboards after they had turned green. And I thought that was discriminatory on the color green. Because originally they were blackboards. Did you have?
Well, then you could get that mixed up with green spaces.
Did you actually have blackboards when you were teaching?
Sometimes, depended on the school I went to, but... most of the time, they painted them green.
Yeah, green, of course.
Yeah. Green boards.
Wonderful color. Anyway, on the green board, undoubtedly, he put the question, why? Question mark. And Mike Nelson, Nelly, as we call him at camp, he wrote, you know, he had 90 minutes to write. He opened up his Blue Book, and based on the question, why? Question mark, his answer was, why not? Period. And he turned it in. He got an A+.
Yeah.
Would you have given him an A+? I mean,
No.
Of course you wouldn't have.
That's like standard stuff.
I thought it was.
Everybody puts that anymore.
Right, but he started it at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point in 1987.
Well, there you go. 87, that's a great number.
Yeah, right?
It is.
Running Turtle, 87, baby.
87, that's right.
Why are you Running Turtle 87?
Four score and 7 years ago.
Okay, so that's 80.
Three times 29.
Oh, no, four score and 7 years ago is 87.
Yeah. One past being 86 is 87, so that's a survival number.
Mm. Any other reasons?
Because I wanted to.
Which is always the best reason.
It is always the best reason. I mean, what are you going to do?
You could say his answer is, why not?
I just don't like why not.
I like the why not.
Well, you can have a why not.
I mean, if you're going to ask why. But Michael always says, of course, that why is the only question that blinds the eye. Because there's ultimately no answer for that.
Well, you heard about the rope that came in to get a drink, right?
The rope?
The bartender says, I'm sorry, we don't serve ropes here. He went in the bathroom, got out a pair of scissors, whacked off the top of his head, smushed it all up, right? Tied himself all up, and came back outside. He says, I want a drink. And the bartender says, I don't think so. We don't serve ropes in here. He says, aren't you that rope I saw in here a while ago? Afraid not.
I don't understand that.
He's afraid not. That's right.
Oh, thanks, Sean. Now, if you just can figure out the static on the line, then we'll
it's an algorithm.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what we do. We support each other. See, Sean rescued me from that moment. If you have a little bit of sense of wanting me to rescue tonight, you can give us a call. Sean will take your calls as he's trying to figure out the static on the line at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260 is the toll-free number all over North America. The Glenn Klein Online toll-free hotline. And all over the planet, if you're listening on Wednesday night, the 13th of March, and it's a little after 9 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A. You can call us, too, at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. So last week, my friend, or no, 2 weeks ago now that we're on this every other week schedule.
Right.
You dropped a little bit of a bombshell, or a huge bombshell.
I did. Yeah, kaboom.
The Harrington family expanded by 33% instantaneously.
It expanded by 50%.
By 50%?
That's right.
How's that? Well,
there were two of us. You add one more, that's half of everything that we had.
Oh, that's true.
So that makes three.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, you know why I have challenges with numbers
there
and mathematics. All right. So
number
how,
challenges.
And we were graciously joined by... She has such a unique and unusual name. I mispronounce it all the time. But she joined us. What's her name?
Amethyst.
Amethyst.
Yep.
And how is Amethyst doing?
She's doing great.
Is she right there?
She's right here.
Could you put her on the line, please?
I can put her on the line. She'll need her own telephone. Just 1 second, please.
Okay. All right.
Please. Just 1 second, please.
All right, Lily, Lily Tomlin.
Ba-boom. There you go.
What up?
Amethyst, what up? How are you? How's it going? How's it living with the dear leader there, the dictator of Nacogdoches?
It's going good, I guess. Glenda made, what is it?
Stringy pot roast.
Salad from last time.
You gotta love the chingies, the stringy pot roast. I mean, that's just good stuff, right there. What was with the stringy pot roast?
We can barely hear you.
What is with the stringy pot roast?
What's all in this? Potatoes,
carrots.
Beef stew, or I don't know, stringy beef. I think she put celery in it. I don't know.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah, it was good. It was better than that chicken salad. Oh, my God, it was horrible.
That's on the radio now.
Don't tell her.
It'll be our little secret.
Yeah, our secret into about 175 countries of the world. How is the softball going?
It's going all right. I just started practice with their team not too long ago, so it's going all right.
And what position are you playing?
Well, I haven't been in any games yet, but I've been switching out with their senior player this year at third base. So.
Ooh, the hot corner.
Yep.
Especially in softball. I mean, that ball gets down that 60-foot line pretty quick.
Yeah.
How close are you to your Uncle Chris right now?
I don't know, like 2 feet.
Any chance that you could just, like, put your arm around him, don't hurt her shoulder, and just give him a kiss on the cheek for us?
Oh, my shoulder.
Can you do that? We'd like
to.
Okay. But put the phone up so we can hear the kiss.
Do what?
Put the phone up, like, to the kiss so we can hear it.
Yeah, but we're so close now, we can hear each other. The phone is bouncing like an echo.
All right, just give Chris a kiss on the cheek.
Hold
do
on.
What?
Give Chris a kiss on the cheek.
Like we've ever done that. Have we even hugged since you got here?
I don't know.
We're hugging.
Okay.
We're hugging. I kissed her on the forehead.
Okay.
We're good to go.
We heard the kiss. And
what?
It's not great radio, but it's good. All right, Amethyst. Well, we'll check in with you periodically if you don't mind.
Oh, okay.
All right, honey.
Cool.
Good night. Get some sleep. Teenagers need their sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody needs their sleep.
Teenagers never sleep.
I know. Well, yeah, you guys always
during
sleep.
During the night.
Right. Yeah. During the night.
Right. That's what.
During the day, though.
That's why teenagers sleep so much. It's because adults never sleep. So get used to it. if you've ever witnessed your Uncle Chris throughout the night, I mean,
he's up during the night.
I know,
time.
Right?
He might be sleeping for like 15 minutes, and he'll wake up and be up for a little while.
Oh, dude,
go back to sleep for 10 minutes and then be up.
Did he ever tell you the story when I was speaking? I was in a public speech, and he was there, and he lay down on the floor in front of me and fell asleep in front of all these people.
No.
He fell asleep while I was speaking.
Oh my God.
The words were so comforting.
On the floor.
The
words were comforting. I woke up.
Can I tell him about when we were over playing, you were playing video games, we were over at Keith's house, and what happened?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I was at Chris's friend's house, Keith, and we're playing this video game Portal on the PlayStation 2, or I'm playing it, and he, like, randomly falls asleep on the couch and starts snoring, so he's like, Keith's like, wake up, Chris, quit snoring, and I was like, oh, my God, this is so embarrassing.
Right.
I'm a narcoleptic. Hi, I'm Chris. I'm a narcoleptic.
Are you? Are you a narcoleptic?
I just randomly fall asleep. It's okay.
But I did hold you. I woke your ass up, dude.
You did?
Yeah. All right, Amethyst, hang up the phone.
Okay.
Go to sleep. We love you.
All right, awesome. Here you go.
I wish I could give her a kiss on the forehead. I never even seen her.
More juice later. Yeah.
How's your shoulder, dude?
Do what?
How's your shoulder?
My shoulder's doing great. You know, I'm really trying to, like I said earlier today, I was, you know, out running in the woods and trying to treat it right.
You just say that. You told me that this afternoon.
Yeah.
And we haven't talked for a bit. And you said, yeah, I was running. I just came back from my run. I was like, you're running?
Yeah.
I mean, you were freaked out by going on a hike before.
Yeah. Well, I did 6 miles up and down a rise that was about 80 foot in the hills. We did quite a bit. But that was several weeks ago. You know, I've grown since then.
As you continue to reinvent yourself.
Reinvent myself, that's exactly right.
One of the things that we've learned in this process from the intermediator is how important it is to reinvent oneself. And that's obviously true for individuals. That's a process that we're all in, hopefully, and that I'm in. How important is it for institutions to reinvent themselves?
How what is it in an institution?
How important is it for institutions to also reinvent themselves?
Yeah, institutions, you know, the Japanese, what they want to do is they want to redo their houses, for example, every 20 years. You know, traditional houses in Japan, they would just tear the whole house down and rebuild it. Teepees, for example, for Native American people, they can move the whole camp and just redo the whole thing. You know, you should, like, take everything out of your refrigerator every once in a while and get rid of your science projects and stuff. But as far as the human mind is concerned, you know, we look at the body, it transforms itself completely every 7 years. Some organs and some parts of your body are even more often than that, say your fingernails and your hair and your eyelashes and whatnot. But it's important that the mind gets a reboot every once in a while, and you start from scratch. And I think that one of the things that we forget is we get so addicted to our dogmas and our sense of well-being and how things should go and our predictions and all these different things that we lay out there, that we lean on those things pretty heavily, even to the point where it's irrational. And it's a really important thing to every once in a while take stock. Nietzsche said that he wanted to reevaluate all values. And I think that that's a pretty far-reaching philosophical concept.
But that's what we do. Society reevaluates their values all the time.
Well,
in terms of,
say, if you go through a revolution.
Right. Well, dark-skinned people would still be slaves in this country otherwise.
Well, you know, one of the questions being asked right now is whether or not we're going through another feudal phase. You know, whether or not we're just going through a cycle. You know, it's more than just simply looking at you know, retrofitting or retrograde or you know, retro clothing. It's actually, there's the possibility that in terms of our historical analysis that we are not reinventing ourselves, but we're returning to a history that was extremely
right.
Brutal and very difficult.
Well, we always return historically.
If you want an example,
we're supposed to be a civilization, but we're not being too civilized.
If you want an example of an institution that doesn't, you know, didn't reinvent itself or whatever, just look
sure.
at Blockbuster.
Blockbuster forgot to reinvent itself,
yeah.
didn't it?
And which dovetails nicely
into
a major historical event that happened today. We got a new pope today. And I would have to say the Roman Catholic Church has not reinvented itself very well.
Yeah, all guys voting in another guy, and all from their group.
All guys in dresses.
Yeah.
Hiring another guy in a dress. I was talking to a good friend of mine today, and she was driving up from work, and. We were meeting for a drink after work today, and we had this date. What are you doing?
About what?
I just heard something drop in the background.
Yeah.
Sound like a iced tea cap.
Don't get lost in the paraphernalia. Let's go for it. What'd you say?
No, but
you were meeting with somebody, and they did what?
It's good radio. So anyway, we were just confirming our date and for a cocktail after work.
Yeah.
And and she wanted to know if we were getting together. I said, absolutely, we got to toast the new pope. And she didn't realize that they had elected a new pope. And she asked me, what's he like? And I said, I don't know, but he's in a dress.
He's Argentinian. What can I say?
Well, I got to that eventually, and it was very important for me to know where he was from, because my go-to line when somebody asks something that is obvious of me, I always say, "Is the Pope?" Well, I used to say, "Is the Pope Polish?" We had John Paul II, and then with Benedict, I said, "Is the Pope German?" And now I get to say, "Is the Pope Argentinian?" I mean, that's
and there you have it.
That's multi-syllable.
And now we go from yo to yo.
Exactly. So, all right. So, I'm not as big a news junkie as I was when we started this process.
Sure,
I can tell you that. But I was watching.
You're in recovery. It's okay.
I'm a recovering news junkie.
Yeah.
But I was watching because, I mean, it's a major moment, obviously.
Obviously.
There's 1.2 billion Catholics on the planet. That's somewhat significant, I would say.
I think so.
And there's all these young people in Vatican Square. I mean, the vast majority of people that they were showing on CNN and on MSNBC and on Fox News were young. And,
yeah.
they might as well be seeing. I was going to say the Rolling Stones, but that would be showing my age. Who would be a good band that would draw that kind of crowd right now, Sean? You too? Yeah, you too.
Who's a good band that would be drawing lots of numbers right now?
Yeah, so they're like getting ready for Bono and a U2 concert. I got a great Bono and U2 story sometime. In my one night as a limousine driver, that was wild. I was a limousine driver one night. At a U2 concert. 70,000 people here in Tampa, and I was one of 400 limousine drivers the first night that I drove limo. The first and only night. And
yeah.
It's a much longer story, and it's much more wonderful than that, but that'll have to wait for another show. Anyway, so they're waiting for this white smoke to come. Did you see the images of that today?
I didn't. I've been out all day.
All right, so the chimney, dude, the Vatican needs a new chimney. I'm telling you that right now. Because that thing, that did not look good. That was not sharp, the chimney. But the white smoke comes out, and here comes the new pope.
Yeah.
And he is Argentinian, and it's Pope Francis, which, you know, a lot of people saying...
The first. Yeah.
And that they were pulling for a gay pope. And
a gay pope.
And he picks a woman's name as his name. So, there's some hope for the new pope, is what I'm saying.
Hope for the Pope. I see there's a poetic imagery lining up here.
Go ahead.
No, I was just watching it. Go for it.
No, it's
Are you going to rap?
You want me to freestyle?
Freestyle on the Pope, yeah.
My son Jacob does freestyle.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, actually.
I love that.
When he gets going. All right, so we got this new guy. And he's leading, theoretically, 1.2 billion people that the vast majority of them do not believe what he believes and what he's going to promote. He's 76 years old. What does this say about the state of the world or a significant segment of the world spiritually?
Well, you know, you've got huge sectors of Africa where, you know, most of the population is under 15 because of how many people have been ravaged by AIDS.
Right.
And then you've got war-torn countries where many of the adults have been, you know, bumped off, taken out, genocide, destroyed. And in the United States, where we have an increasing abundance of the elderly, we seem to be, I don't know if we're an anachronism, but at a certain point, you know, we're looking at the brain drain in other countries, China, Japan, India, where we're inviting people all over the place for several years now. Most of the PhD candidates coming out of MIT are non-American. And so we've had a huge contingency of Chinese at Texas A&M. So if you look at the information age and how it's brought people out from all over the planet, it seems to me that the young people are totally in demand, and those people who can't hang with the new technology, they're having a hard time getting a job.
Well, speaking of an institution not reinventing itself,
sure.
Then why would this multi-billion-dollar corporation known as the Roman Catholic Church hire a 76-year-old guy to lead these 15-year-olds?
Well, you know, some of it's political, and some of it is just... conciliatory. You've got so many people been standing in line, and then you've got people of every faction, and it's everything from the Catholic Bank to any number of processes all involved. It's not just so many guys sitting in a room making a decision, but it's all of their fronting for lots of lobbyists from all different kinds and facets of humanity. So
right.
There's a need to look at the baseline there and see what it is that actually goes into, creating a certain style that fits into the Vatican at any given time period. Certainly, I think it was, wasn't John Paul I that only lasted like 28 days
right.
or something like that?
Yeah, he croaked right there, right, I mean, right at the get-go.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm of a mind that the guy got assassinated, but, you know, it's, I'm just, you know,
do you
I
have
also
a,
believe
do,
in the gravity.
I've heard that before. I've heard that theory before.
Yeah.
And do you know why they would have killed that guy?
Yeah, because he was getting ready to clean up the Vatican Bank, and he was going to deal with the sex scandals, and he had a whole bunch of stuff lined up that he was getting ready to do, and he had like a 50-day mission to get some stuff seriously done, and there's every reason in the world why he should have been bumped off in relationship to those guys that didn't want to get in a world of trouble. I mean, their whole universe was about ready to hit the fan.
Right, and they knew it. We didn't know it, but they knew it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Heck yeah, they knew it.
Yeah. This is Glenn Klein online. That's Chris Harrington. This is Chris Harrington's Reality. It is a webcast Wednesday. We are glad to have you along for the ride. You know, for those of us that believe that all humanity is perfect and righteous and holy just the way they are, no matter what they are, and no matter who they are. And when I say that, folks, I literally mean exactly what I said. What is the pomp and circumstance and the attention of the election of this new pope in 2013 portend for the planet here?
Well, I think we're in a particularly, of course, every age would probably say that, you know, that we're in a particularly difficult and fragile period of history, certainly, you know, going into the 60s and looking at the Cold War, you know, ending up with, you know, nuclear weapons across in Cuba, but, you know, before that with the Red Scare, before that, I mean, you could say, you know, every decade has its, you know, tremendous, you know, vulnerability that it presents to the American people, but not just America, to the whole planet. We're probably pretty blind to, as Americans, we're pretty blind to, you know, the 15,000 people that were killed in Timor, or all the people that got wiped out in Guatemala, or, you know, all the different things that have happened. You know, Saddam Hussein set fires in Kuwait, and they had pollution for the first time in recorded history in Tibet because the smoke was so high it landed in the Himalayas. So you've got all these different things that have happened to different groups, speaking of Tibet and the Chinese, but you've got all these different things that have happened every decade, and we look at things now and we think, well, are we any closer, you know, to absolute annihilation than we were during the Cold War with, you know, everybody pointing, you know, nuclear missiles at each other? But I think that you could say that because of the animated velocity that we have in mind, nuclear weapons were one thing, but live data and the decreasing amount of real personal protection that we have in daily life, just with the loss of privacy and increasing number of weapons and attitudes that are out of control, and people who are so dogmatic about their beliefs, that we're under siege. In nothing else, just in stress.
Right, I was going to say, at the very least, we are under significant stress. And here's the thing, you guys, that you, especially those that have been listening to the program, we're all about coping with stress.
Yeah.
You beautiful humans know that Chris and I both spend a significant amount of time interacting on the internet with folks, especially on Facebook. It's amazing how many people on Facebook want to be rid of stress. And let me tell you something, you guys. You will never be rid of stress. The question is, are you dealing effectively with it?
Absolutely.
And we love that word on this radio program.
Are you able to respond, or are you still reacting?
That's and right. Are you able to be effective with the stress? So we're going to take our break now as we do. Yeah. And then that's the monologue, you guys. What's not a monologue?
All right.
But what it is the introduction for the rest of the show. When we return here on this radio program, Chris is going to be unleashed. So stay logged on for the intermediator. The good news on Glenn Klein Online is brought to you in part by Coaching Communications and thegurufgratitude.com. You guys get in touch with us at Coaching Communications and The Guru at 888-493-7482. 888-493-7482. When you want to know and grow. 888-493-7482. Apparently, the audio issue just fixed itself.
I love that.
Yeah, no, you're right, Sean. It sounds just like normal.
Well, that's wonderful.
As that song was playing, I ran to the bathroom. And maybe the funniest thing that ever happened on this now almost eight-year webcast is I'm sitting here doing the show with Michael on Wednesday night. And I really needed to go to the bathroom, bad. And in those days, we went way over an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And I really needed to go potty, like big time number two, if you catch my drift. And I had to go. And I asked Mike a question. And I told Sean, I said, I'm going to do my thing, and if he stops, which, I mean, I had to interrupt Michael a lot, and I got criticized for that, but I had to. Because, I mean, the man is used to talking for 90 minutes without stopping, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, I was gone for 7 minutes. Which, I mean, how long was that song that we just played? 4 minutes.
3:50, something like that.
Yeah, I got back within 10 seconds. After I did like my little commercial. Bro, he never missed a beat in the 7 minutes. And I came back on and I just went, mm-hmm. And I just continued talking. I mean, it was seamless. It was a beautiful thing.
Very good. Seamless is good.
Yep. This is Glenn Klein Online. That's Chris Harrington. Now you guys have a little TMI, which is too much information. And
it's never little if it's TMI.
See, I've matured so much, I'm just going to let that comment go.
On the fly.
That's a beautiful thing. All right, so I know you have things on your heart.
I do. I always do.
You always do, and I appreciate it. So take charge, buddy guy.
Okay, I was wondering, okay, when people say, heaven help me, or when someone dies and they say, oh, he's gone to a better place.
Right.
I wonder what they really mean by going to heaven. Like people say, are you saved or are you redeemed or are you born again? Are you going to heaven? Are you secure in where you're going to go? And I just wonder, okay, let's just take all that and let's take it for granted and say, yeah, we're all going to go. Now I'd like to know what we're going to do.
Whoa. See,
Wait.
No, you wait for a second, my friend.
No. You, I didn't get to my question
I
yet.
Know, but I, dude, you just passed over. Let's take it for granted.
That
everybody's going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just talking about the Pope. Their whole purpose is that unless you believe the way they do, you're not going.
I think we're in for a revolution.
Okay, so we're, and you guys know we are in a gospel revolution, in fact. Which here's what Chris and I believe is that whatever there is out there, everybody goes. If there is anything, everybody goes. Now continue, my friend.
Now we're ready?
Yes, I think.
Okay, good. People say heaven, help me, or when they say, it's a better place, when they talk about heaven, I wonder what they really think is going to happen when you get to heaven. Like, are there golf courses? Is it like an 18-hole golf course and then you go to hell?
One could hope. Well, no.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want an 18-year-old golf course or 18-hole golf course.
So is it like a 10-zillion-hole golf course and then you go to hell? Or is it like endless golf? Is that what you do? Golfing for Jesus?
It's endless baseball is what it is.
Endless baseball. Or NASCAR. Or bikinis.
Ooh.
Or blues bands. Or MTV. Mm-hmm. Or high-end cars. Ferraris for everybody. Isn't that what heaven is?
It's endless, not handball. What do you play? Racquetball. It's endless racquetball.
Yeah. So isn't that Donkey Island? I mean, that's what happened when Pinocchio went to Donkey Island. He got to stay up and smoke cigars and drink alcohol and play pool all night. And then in the morning, he was starting to wake up. He had donkey ears and a tail, and he was turning into a jackass. So I wonder if that's what heaven's all about, is just going to a place that's totally hedonistic where you get to continue all of your desires. Or wouldn't that actually be hell?
Is that how you describe hedonism?
Hedonism?
Yeah, by doing everything.
Yeah, wanting to do, getting to do your what you desire.
You know they have a festival in Jamaica called hedonism.
Yeah.
Plato's
Cave.
They literally call it hedonism.
Yeah.
And I've never been. I've been to Jamaica, but I've never been to hedonism. But I know people who have been, and they say it's a really, really good time.
And it's lots of fun?
That's what they say.
Do they wake up with donkey tails?
I don't think so.
Okay. So it's not a cosplay thing then?
No.
So I'm just wondering, okay, what do people picture when they picture heaven? Because they talk about it and they say, there's no pain there, right? It's a beautiful place.
No tears.
You're tireless. You can run and never get tired.
Right.
So you won't need any drugs.
Right.
And you won't need wealth because the streets are lined with gold.
Right.
And there will be no reason for anger because there's going to be instantaneous telepathy. Everybody will know everybody else's thoughts, and we're going to know everything when we get there. That's always a big discussion at church. What will happen to people? Well, we'll know everything when we get to heaven.
Right.
And Jesus will then explain all the mysteries, and we'll know, right?
And
there won't be any bias because we won't see color in terms of racism or prejudice, and there won't be any selfishness because there won't be any way for you to lie. So when God came to the garden and Adam had a fig leaf on, and God says, well, that's new. Well, what's the reasoning for that? And he's like, dude, it's the newest fashion. Don't you, like, keep up with MTV or whatever, you know? It's like on the TV.
They're doing a
West Coast thing now.
That's not what he said, Chris.
Oh. Well, anyway, point is that when people look forward to meeting God, I wonder what they're going to say that he doesn't already know. So won't it really be a test on how well you're able to tell the truth about yourself?
Oh, here we go.
How much you've been lying to yourself?
This is the point that the intermediator was getting to.
Yeah. So how honest are we going to be able to be about how self-righteous we were, right?
Or anything else, for that
matter. Or anything else. But it all boils down to self-righteousness, doesn't it?
Well, why do you say that?
Pretension and the necessity for us to constantly have some portrayal of something that's really good, and Jesus said, call no man good, right?
I'm so glad you brought this up.
Yeah,
because,
I'm so glad. But we only have like 2 weeks left, so I thought we better get to the good stuff.
No, we don't have two. No, that's not true.
Yeah.
It's just that it might not be consecutive.
Might not be consecutive.
Right. No, I don't. There's things in the work, but we'll get into that in a few minutes at the end
of
the program. But you and I have a major disagreement on the definition of self-righteousness.
We do.
I know. You're talking about self-righteousness.
That's okay. You'll catch up. No one's perfect except for me and you, and lately I've been a little bit worried about you, Glenn.
To quote Chris Harrington, I love that. Dude, all right. So Chris is saying that our attitudes about what he just described can be defined as self-righteous. I'm saying that self-righteousness is described strictly as thinking that either you or somebody else has a better place in the eyes of the creator of the universe, in the eyes of God, than somebody else. And,
yeah, and what's the real difference in terms of qualifying the difference between our two points of view?
Because you're talking about some very practical stuff. Like, for example...
Yeah, and God's really practical. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord.
No, we're not talking about God. You're talking about our interaction with each other.
I am.
I'm talking about strictly our interaction with God and the way that we perceive God's view and opinion of us.
Yeah, and we entertain angels unaware.
Yeah, but see, you know, dude...
If we're all one, then there's no other place. And the deal is that if we're one with Jesus and we're all one, then there's no otherness. There's just us.
No, I hear that.
Jesus.
I so hear that.
All this, the idea that there's some kind of mysterious difference between materialism and spirituality is a it's a misnomer.
But bro, I'm saying that the worst homophobe, the worst racist, the worst sexist, is as equal and perfect in the eyes of the creator as anybody that's not those things.
Absolutely.
Okay, all right, so...
And all I'm saying is that self-righteousness is a concept that's kind of like, I disagree that gravity exists. It's a useless affectation
that we absorb into ourselves in order to promote
something that doesn't exist in the first place, which is the ego.
But the people that were fighting Galileo on that point were never more unrighteous, or Galileo was never more righteous than the people that disagreed with him.
I agree.
In the eyes of God.
I don't have a problem with that.
But obviously, the people that were fighting against gravity and the concepts of gravity, or the fact that the Earth was flat, or the fact that the universe revolved around the Earth, they were just wrong. Like people like today that say that people that are attracted to same sexual partners are somehow wrong, I think those people are wrong.
I just wonder if those people think that if you can choose to be gay, if they themselves could choose to be gay.
Right. See, now you're getting into logic.
Yeah.
But there are, in my opinion, there are stands on the issues of the day. We were talking earlier about the evolution of morality in society.
Right.
There are issues that there's a right and a wrong stance. But even if you have the wrong stance on it, it doesn't make you self-righteous unless you think your stand is somehow gaining you favor with the Creator, with God.
No, but you're creating a chasm that doesn't exist. What Paul argues in Romans is that, in Romans 1, is that those people who are self-righteous are those people who use the law to define themselves in relationship and identity to other people whom they see as needing to be judged, when in reality, to judge is to put yourself back under the law. That's a condition of the mind. Self-righteousness is a condition of the mind. It's not a condition of your relationship with God.
No doubt. But I'm saying that the only self-righteousness, the thing that Paul was tripped up with, the sin that so easily beset him, he talked about, was the temptation to go back and think that there was somehow a differentiation between his attitudes and his behavior.
Absolutely.
Okay, so how is somebody who kind of like us all, who's got imperfect thoughts about the relationships with other people, even with themselves, with society, or society with them, how are they unrighteous if they are not taking a stand on their relationship?
No, it's not whether they're unrighteous. That's not the question. The question is, how do they view themselves in terms
of their relationship to that data? I'm not saying they are unrighteous. I'm saying you're saying that the issue of our stance on relation, I mean, we've gotten into some deep stuff, some really deep stuff privately, but I mean, some really significant stuff even on the radio.
Sure.
And you will define them as self-righteous. And I don't see it that way. I have embraced so much of your mediation, so much of your teaching.
I really appreciate that.
But I don't embrace the concept of self-righteousness being part and parcel to our wrong thinking vis-a-vis each other unless it involves our relationship with God.
People can still be thoughtful that they are themselves self-maintaining, that is, that they authenticate themselves, all right? And the problem with that is that it's above their pay grade. So we're not able to be good or bad or to judge anyone as being good or bad under the law. Any act of the mind or a thought of the mind or a belief system or feeling that you can is self-righteousness. That is, that you're the arbiter of righteousness. That's my personal belief system.
Right, but the conclusion at Golgotha in Jerusalem,
right,
is that we cannot judge according to the law.
Absolutely.
So if somebody releases that from their life and say, I'm not going to judge this person based on the law,
right,
but I'm going to say, you know what, that person who thinks that gay and lesbian people do not deserve equal rights,
sure,
they're wrong.
Yeah.
Is that person's attitude, or I'll say it this way, how much is that person's attitude self-righteous?
As soon as you're saying that something is wrong, you're already self-righteous.
Even if you say that all people deserve equal rights regardless of their sexuality, that's self-righteous.
I don't think that that's something that you're saying begins with you. That's your perception of other people having their rights is an observation. Like, that's like saying, I see the rainbow or I see the sky. That doesn't have anything to do with you. Whether or not those people are good or bad, all right, which is a moralism, that's self-righteousness. Even saying that something is good, that's self-righteousness.
You're telling me that saying that all people, regardless of their sexuality, should have equal rights, that's moralistic and should not...
No, not should have, they do. The question is whether or not other people observe that. My rights are not dependent on whether or not someone agrees that I have them or not.
No, of course.
Now, my ability to exercise those rights may be completely determined by somebody else having a gun, but in terms of my own mind, whether I'm free or not has nothing to do with anybody else's allowing me to be free,
right,
or
well,
to be or to be have certain rights.
Since you brought up a armed weapon, so if somebody puts a gun to somebody's head,
yeah,
and blows their brains out,
right,
and that person was not threatening them in any way,
right,
that you can't judge that act.
I don't judge it as good as or bad, but what I do say is that the person who did the killing is taking away someone's civil liberties.
Well, wouldn't that be bad or good?
I'm not. The thing is that in terms of good or bad, right?
Right.
Then I've got to ask myself all kinds of questions, like about assassinations or about.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Well, you can if you want, but I'm talking about the one instance where an innocent person.
No, I'm talking about any killing at all.
But bro.
In fact, in Buddhism, they go so far as to say we're not even going to kill the worms in the ground. So that it's going to be difficult to do even agriculture.
All right, so you on some level you embrace Buddhism, right?
On some level, yeah.
All right.
That's true,
so,
yes.
So as a good Buddhist, you
now
have...
See, that's diametrically opposed to
as somebody that embraces Buddhism.
Right.
And you have a chance to put a bullet through the eyes of Adolf Hitler before all this stuff goes down.
No.
You won't do it.
No.
Why? I don't know. Maybe it would save like 20 million people's lives.
Well, I would definitely do some fast talking, but I'm of a different mind than that.
You would not have killed Adolf Hitler with the chance.
No, I wouldn't have.
Wow.
I mean, I was a conscientious objector. I didn't end up going to war, but I claimed that, even though I was, I think, number 137 or something going into the Vietnam War, or 151, and they stopped at 137, something like that.
Wow.
But, you know, as a point of logic. In order for me to maintain the level of neutrality that I have in working with people, I mean, I work with some really desperate, difficult people that other human beings just simply will not work with. And the reason I can do that is the reasoning I have in terms of being as so totally non-biased and like invisible in terms of people's structure of their mind. They think the way that they do, and they have a reason for it. I don't look at Republicans and think they're insane because they believe X, Y, and Z. I don't look at Democrats and think they're insane because of X, Y, and Z. I think these people are all smart. I think they have their reasons. They look at things depending on whatever's encoded into their minds and whatever they've had as experiences,
right,
and whatever they have in their genes, and they come up with these expressions for themselves.
No, I understand, but there's a difference between John Boehner and Nancy Pelosi and Adolf Hitler. I hate to use the Nazis or Hitler as an example, but
yeah.
I got to say that I would, if I had a chance, I would have put a gun to that guy's temple and blown his brains across the room in a second.
There's a balanced world where all these people exist who do certain things. That's not my forte is not.
I know, bro.
Thinking ahead on those kinds of games. I'm the guy who sits in the foxhole with the guy who might do it. And maybe I talk him out of it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
This has been such.
I can't do my job as a human being unless I have this point of view. So
wow.
Other people might look at me and say, "Wow, you know, he's really weak, or he's really crazy, or he's really doesn't have a sense of patriotism." They can think all those things, and you know what? Maybe they're right on some level. It doesn't really matter to me. To me, what's most important is when I work with another human being, I go into that with no preconceptions, and I don't have any kind of logic inside of me that says, by virtue of the fact that I'm even talking to you and you're saying these things, that you're a bad person or you're unacceptable.
I agree. And everybody gets
the same treatment.
And
I love you for who you are, not because of what you did or because you agree with me.
And as I see Hitler's brain spattered across the wall, I know that he's in perfect peace with God, and he's gone to heaven. But this has been a huge challenge for me in talking with you.
I mean, it's
wonderful. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. This is Glenn Klein Online. That's Chris Harrington. This is literally Chris Harrington's reality.
and no one else's, right?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Well, you know what? I would say that.
Of course it is no one else's, because we only have our own reality. I learned that from you.
Of course. So
Sean's been listening to this, and you know, Sean's a pretty well-read and a highly intellectual guy.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, what do you think about all this, dude?
I would probably, I mean, I think anybody would consider both choices, but honestly, when I think of history, we all have kind of rose-colored glasses about some things, and
sure.
History is written by the, you know, the victors. And,
of course.
And it's never quite, what really happened is never quite what we learned. And I've learned as I got older, a lot of stuff I learned when I was younger isn't quite what actually happened. So I mean, you're putting kind of all the deaths of all these people on one man's head, but what if he was just some kind of, which I kind of partially believe, that he was kind of more of a figurehead puppet? And what if he was gone and everything that was going on behind the scenes was actually the responsibility of a lot of people, and you didn't change anything except killing a guy, and then everybody still died as they would have?
I like that. I like that challenge.
Or maybe even worse.
Or maybe worse. And who am I to be the judge of that, to say that one thing is better than the other? Because what if, you know,
it sounds like Sean is siding with Chris. I got to say.
For the most part, yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised in your purple shirt.
There you go.
There you're siding. All right. I respect.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, the point of my neutrality is I'm not trying to determine all of history, all right? I can't really do anything about that. There are politicians and and military people to deal with those things, and they are rightfully in their place. And those people, too, I have tremendous respect
right.
for what they do,
okay.
and
right.
I appreciate them
All
very
right.
much.
All right, hold on. I'm going to bring this. Can I go really pretty deep right now?
Sure, go.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right, well, we'll see. Well,
what's
see.
The limitation?
We'll see. Well, we're going to see here in a second how
go for it.
How limited we are. All right. You got this precious amethyst in your house.
I do.
Some guy's got a knife to her throat.
People always come at me with this question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm going to see what you do with it.
Yeah.
Because it's a good question. It's a fair
yeah.
question. It's like the ultimate question for people to
yeah, yeah.
that everybody's going to heaven. So, so Hitler's in heaven? And I go, yes, Hitler's in
right.
heaven. Unequivocally.
Yeah.
So somebody's got a knife to Amethyst's throat.
Yeah.
You've got a gun. If you
right.
don't shoot the guy in the head, he's going to slit her throat and she's going to die or at least really suffer.
Yeah.
You're telling me that you do not pull that trigger?
Well, first off, I don't have a gun.
Well, dude, if you have a baseball bat or a fist or something to prevent your precious niece that you're investing
yeah.
your time and who you love
yeah.
and who you kissed on the forehead, we heard her
right.
earlier on the radio.
Right, right.
You have an opportunity to prevent some serious harm from
yeah.
coming to her by an act of your will.
Right.
You're just going to talk to the guy.
So you're telling me that I absolutely have that power?
You have the power of stopping that moment.
No, I'm asking, do I absolutely have that power? Are you saying that if I act, I won't make it worse?
No.
Are you saying that I absolutely built to knock
no,
the,
but see,
the
see, but see,
knife out of his hand
see,
and I won't inadvertently
see, this
make
is,
him jerk
this,
sideways
to me,
and actually cut her throat?
To me, this is a religious answer that you're giving.
I'm just asking you a question.
I'm telling
you. You're asking, and so I'm responding.
I'm saying that when people ask me.
Are you saying absolutely?
I'm saying that when people ask me, is Hitler in heaven, and I say yes, period.
Right.
I'm asking you, if you know that you can stop your niece from having that kind of serious trauma and damage that you don't know what
she's
you
like
do.
She's like gripping her throat. You're really giving her a freak out over here.
How is she listening to this?
She's on the radio.
Oh, hey, Amethyst.
She's listening on the headphones.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
This is like this is kind of embarrassing. This is like when you're on speakerphone and you don't know you're on speakerphone.
Yeah.
All right, so this
she's
is a
tough. She can handle it. She won't sleep all night, but she can.
No, I believe she will sleep. She might even sleep.
Yeah.
She might even sleep better.
Yeah.
With knowing that two people that care about her, especially one that's in apparently very close proximity, is willing to talk about this. All right. So what's your stance on this? You can't say yes or no to it.
Well, I think if you're going to put it into terms where I have to do something or she's going to die, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And if you do it, she won't. Not only not die,
so,
she won't be injured. She won't won't be hurt at all.
You're a person who's a life coach, right?
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Are you absolutely secure in the thought that no one that you will ever help will ever father a child and end up that child becomes a murderer that takes out 100 million people?
Dude, of course not. But that's
okay,
not
so
that. That's not
maybe
analogous.
You shouldn't help
people that's
anymore
not analogous,
because,
dude.
You never can tell.
That's not analogous. And what I was going to say was that's not fair. But I know that fairness is an evil bitch that will turn around and bite your ass off. So I wasn't. No, but it's not analogous, dude.
Analogous. You make up a concept. I make up a concept.
No,
those are analogous.
But just because you make it. No, I'm talking about a definitive thing.
There's no definitive thing. Number one, she's not in any danger right now. All right? So it's completely hypothetical. Number two, I don't have a gun. I'm not going to own a gun. I don't need a gun. So now, if you could ask about myself, let's say that if somebody came at me and they wanted to do something to me personally, okay?
That's different.
All right. So I would talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe they would take me out and they would shoot me.
Yeah.
But, you know, they could do that from 3 miles away with a 50 cal, too.
Dude, I love you,
Steve. So I'm not leaving my house
because
I'm afraid somebody's going to take me out. I'm sorry. That's not happening.
I know. I love you so much.
I'm not any less free with someone has a 357 at my forehead.
Hey, Amethyst, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can she hear me? Amethyst?
Yeah, she can hear you.
Okay. Do you know what good... does she know what good hand she's in right now?
Yeah.
I would trust my daughter to this man.
She's totally cool.
I pretty much have trusted my soul to you, as you know. So, all right. So, theoretically, we've been now for the last month or so on an every other week schedule.
Yeah.
And theoretically, in 2 weeks, that might be our last one for a bit.
It might be.
But you don't know, because you never know.
Yeah, you never do know.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But if this was the second to last one for a while, it was a good one.
Yeah, awesome.
Get some rest. And tell Amethyst she should sleep really well tonight.
I love that. Thanks, man.
She's well protected.
All right.
All right, dude. Love you.
Bye-bye.
All right, there he goes. Uncle Chris, the intermediator. Whew. That's some good stuff. I was tired when I came in here, and now my adrenaline is pumping. I hope yours is too, beautiful humans. Wherever you're listening around the world, if there's anything that we can do for you, if you want to just talk to somebody, give Chris a call. His phone number, Running Turtle 87 at, I think it's Hotmail. And I'm Coach at GlennKleinOnline.com. That's Sean O'Halloran, and this is the good news on Glenn Klein Online. And I'm losing my voice, so this is the time for me to say thank you for listening. We love you, beautiful humans, and until next time, Shalom, everybody!